The Sportscast, June 18th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, twitch.tv, YouTube, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or in your favorite podcast directory, please hit a rating and a review. Hit the subscribe button, and that will be will help us out tremendously. And visit and also visit our website, thesportscast.net. thesportscast.net and our app. You could get our app through the iOS App Store for free. Check it out and follow along. A lot of breaking news this morning. Big trades with the NBA. A lot of NBA news this past 2 days. So good trades, firings. That's up to you guys. That's very subjective, like they say. But anyways, we are going a lot more European this week. Obviously, the European Championship, football, or in America we call it soccer, and the Euros is going on. A lot of you are watching it. If you can, I know it's during work hours. And, of course, we got some boxing talk a little bit, Tyson Fury versus Wilder. And joining us all the way from the UK, across the pond, Sean from BTR Boxing. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure, as always, to be on. And yeah, it's going to be quite a varied conversation today. A lot of the time, you've got me on and we're talking about a lot of the big fights or something that's going on in the world of boxing, which we are going to talk about. But, you know, I'm quite excited to actually talk about football as well today and talk about the European Championships over here and, you know, just have a conversation with yourself about that and, you know, your perception of, you know, the teams that are in it, how things are going, you know, how will England do, of course? That's the big question here. Where I am is the expectation is how far are they going to get? Is football really going to come home this time? We'll see. But thanks for having me on.
Sean, absolutely a big fan of yours. And by the way, I did listen to the to your series of the Harker side of boxing, and I listened to the Freddie Mill story. Very impressive.
How did you find like the story in terms of the unexplained mystery of his death?
Yeah, no idea if it was a suicide or if he was set up or not. But you guys, you know, didn't decide in the show itself, but you definitely left the audience thinking.
Yeah, that was the whole point of it, really. I mean, it's you know, we struggled with some of these cases that we did, that we looked at. It was hard to determine, you know, whether or not these things actually happened. Like, people can have their own theories about how a certain person died in the world of boxing, i.e. Freddie Mills. Was it an organized gang hit, or was it a case of, you know, he'd had enough and he'd committed suicide? But it's so difficult to make that judgment. And you know, for us as podcast hosts, we just want to leave the information out there to people so they can make their own informed decision about what they actually think has happened, and they can let us know. And that's the beauty of the engagement side of things, is obviously people can tell us whether or not, you know, they enjoyed listening to the episode, and also what did they think actually happened. And you know, you just said it yourself there, you know, you kind of leave it a little bit open ended in the sense that, did he really kill himself, or was it really an organized gang hit?
Yes, check out the series on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. Really well produced. Something that, you know, if you're boxing fans, and I just found out about this Freddie Mills character. Never knew about him, but there is a darker side of boxing. I've definitely been hearing stories about it, and Sean and his crew definitely dissected down. So please check it out on Apple Podcasts or go to BTR Boxing, and they'll have it all there. Anyways, the European Championship, as we were talking about earlier, Sean, has been pretty exciting, pretty predictable. I think seeing the fans coming back to the stadium, especially in Hungary, has been very exciting. Of course, it's been a year of no fans in most European leagues. But so far, what are your thoughts over the tournament so far?
It's been enjoyable to watch. I mean, the last time me and you had a conversation on the Sportscast about football, you know, I was quite damning about sort of the professionalism and maybe the hunger of some of the football players. But really, you can't really doubt any of these players that have turned up for this tournament, because you can tell that they really are all there to win. No matter how substandard some of these players are because they've come from remote countries across Europe, which don't have the same facilities as, say, you know, like your France's, your Belgium's, your Germany's, and your England's and Italy's, and they're giving it their all. And it's nice to see that most of the teams that have been competing in the tournament are there to try and win, and they're not just there to participate. And that's an enjoyable thing to watch as a neutral fan. I think I've only missed one or two of the games so far. I think Austria North Macedonia was the only one I didn't really fancy. I didn't really think it'd be an enjoyable one to watch. No disrespect to the teams and the players, but it didn't really appeal to me. But France and Germany was an excellent game. The Portugal game was an excellent game. And then obviously you've had the Netherlands, who have been absent from the last two tournaments, including the World Cup, and they seem to have come back with a bang, winning their first two games and going straight through now to the last 16. So it has been an enjoyable tournament to watch so far. For me, Santiago, obviously I'm an England fan. I want to see England do well, and there's a lot of hope and expectation on a young side that England do have, that they can actually make it quite far, based on the fact that they did do very well in the 2018 World Cup. You know, they made it all the way to the semi-final. They were 1-0 up. It went to extra time. They got done over by a Perisic goal at the end. And, you know, everybody had a lot of high hopes. And people still do have a lot of high hopes. And, you know, it is enjoyable to get involved in the sort of community spirit that it brings to the country. I think that's the biggest takeaway that any England fan will probably say, is that everybody comes together and unites, and that's what football is about. It does unite nations. And I didn't know if you wanted to touch on the Christian Eriksen moment as well last weekend.
Yes, an inspiring moment, very scary moment, you can say. The whole football world was praying for Christian Eriksen. Of course, he during I believe it was the 18, it was like the 43rd minute of the first half, where he just collapsed. I think he didn't have much of the ball, or he had the ball, but he was by himself. There was no head collision. There was no type of physical touch to him. And the first assumption was the cardiac arrest. And of course, apparently he was out for a minute, minute and 46 seconds. So he was dead. But the doctors resuscitated him, and he's great. But what were your thoughts over that moment?
I was watching it. I watched it live. I seen it happen, and the UEFA broadcasting actually shown Christian Eriksen's face when he was on the floor. Now that was the moment where it really hit home, where he was grey. He was the colour grey. He was dead. He was dead on the pitch at that point. And then obviously the Denmark team, what an absolute bunch of heroes they were. You know, Kasper Schmeichel, the defender, I think it's Simone Kjær. I think both of them together, including the referee, made the right actions. And obviously the medical equipment that was there on hand was able to save his life. But watching it unfold was really scary, really upsetting, to be honest, because, you know, it's not often this happens on a football field. There's been a couple of instances that I can remember, a Bolton Wanderers football player, Fabrice Muamba. He was one that was clinically dead for 78 minutes and managed to survive and managed to come back and is leading a normal life now. And then the unfortunate one was Marc Vivien Foe. I think it was back in 2003 when playing for Cameroon. He literally dropped dead on the pitch, and they couldn't save him because they didn't have the medical technology of defibrillators there at the football game to be able to save his life. So to see how far football's come in that respect is quite amazing and compelling to see. It's just unfortunate that, you know, the Denmark team wasn't able to produce a result yesterday, and maybe they'll have one last chance in the final group game to maybe scrape through on a third place, a best placed third place in the overall groups. But, you know, genuinely, I wanted to see them get through. I kind of wanted them, I was rooting for them to kind of get somewhere because of what happened. It's a bit of a dedication to Eriksen, and it's nice to see that he is okay, and he is going to be fitted with one of them devices, which is kind of like a mini defibrillator, and there might be a possibility that he might be able to play football again. I know Daley Blind for the Netherlands, he's got the same type of device in his heart, and he's able to play football as well as he's always been. So whether Eriksen can do that, it remains to be seen, but they have fitted him with that type of device. So you never know, but the main thing is that he's okay and he's made it through it and he's able to see his kids and his family again.
Yeah, former Tottenham Spur player, only 29 years old, definitely is out for this tournament, but we'll see if he comes back on the pitch for Inter Milan. He seems very positive. Have you ever seen that in other sports like boxing?
I've never seen it happen live. I've never been there at any events that I've been to where it's happened. But obviously, I think it was it 2 years ago, 2019, where there was a couple of deaths in America in a couple of the top ranked shows. I remember Patrick Day being one of them. He unfortunately lost his life as a result of injuries sustained in the ring. It's shocking. It is shocking, like these types of things when they do happen, because it's usually very few and far between. You just don't expect it to happen, and obviously the broadcasting companies, they have to make a decision immediately as to how to play things out for the sensitivity of the individual that may be injured and their family and the people that are watching around the world. So it must have been, you know, a difficult decision to make, really, with regards to Christian Eriksen. I know there was a lot of people that didn't like the broadcasting that was going on, you know, the fact that they were the camera was seemingly zooming in on the fact that he was having CPR and he was having the defib, and it kind of wasn't nice to see that, but it wasn't in the control of certain broadcasters here in the UK. It was actually UEFA pictures that were being shown at the time, and I think there's definitely a lot of learning from an incident like this in many ways.
Yes, it hardly happens, and of course, you know, sometimes when you see a protester runs in the field naked, they try not to show that at all. So maybe in the future they might have, you know, like protocols what to do or what not to do. But I do know the players were kind of hovering over him, and they were kind of not hiding him, but I guess just, you know, just around him so the cameras could not have seen him. So far, England, they got revenge with Croatia, beat them 1-0. How far do you think this England team can go?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question. The million-dollar question for England fans. Well, we've got Scotland in less than 3 hours' time. I do anticipate we'll get a victory there. I think Scotland is, with it obviously being all part of the same island that we're on, it's a fierce rivalry dating back to the civil wars that used to go on years and years and years. I'm talking hundreds of years ago. But there's always been a fierce rivalry between the English and the Scots, no matter what. And even if the Scottish had the worst team in the world, they would still come and they would still expect their men to get a victory. And that's dedication and testament to how loyal the Scottish are to their football team, of course. But in terms of England going far, if they win the group that they're in at the moment, if they, say, clear the full 9 points and they win all three games in total, the likelihood is they're going to play either France, Germany or Portugal in that particular group of death. So that's, for me, if we're going to win this tournament, we've got to beat France or Portugal. They're the two teams that I've been most impressed with so far, alongside the Netherlands and probably Belgium as well. They're the four teams that I think are the most dangerous at the moment in the tournament. And I think if England are going to have a chance to win, they need to beat a big team if they get through to the next stage. So if they get to the last 16 and we get France, Germany or Portugal, if we was then to beat one of them teams, maybe I would start to have a bit more confidence that actually if we can do that against such a strong side, then maybe we could go all the way and we could win this tournament. And England have got a very good team. They've got a lot of world-class players in there and a lot of players that have come through that are very young, that are, some of them seem inexperienced, but yet some of them at 21 years of age are absolutely playing some of the great players off the park. And it's amazing to see some of these lads step up, to be honest. There's always a lot of expectation on these types of players to perform so well. And I think that's the biggest pet peeve of mine as an England fan, is that how much pressure is put on the players from the UK media. The UK media puts so much pressure on them to perform and expect them to win. They need to just be able to go out there and play with the freedom and not worry about the expectations, because I think that's when we'll actually see England possibly go all the way.
I was not impressed with
not impressed with
Harry Kane's performance. Do you expect much more from him?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Croatia did a good job of marking him out of the game, to be honest. I think they completely the two central defenders were all over him. There was no letting him up. There was no giving him any opportunities. And I mean, any team could do that. Any team could mark Harry Kane out of the game. The thing for England is they've got the very, very good wide players and attacking midfielders in the likes of Raheem Sterling and Calvin Phillips, the Leeds United player. He was an absolute revelation in that first game against Croatia. He probably had one of the best midfield performances I've seen in years. And it was amazing. He was stopping all the Croatia attacks. He was coming forward. He was taking shots. He had an assist. He set Raheem Sterling up for the goal that was scored for England to win. And seeing players like that come from, I wouldn't say obscurity, but maybe for the wider audience who don't follow English football, he probably seems like an obscure player to them. It's like, you know, I don't know who Calvin Phillips is, but yet now I know who he is. And it wouldn't surprise me if he has another good couple of games throughout this tournament. I don't know how long he'll be playing for Leeds United.
And I've been hearing a lot of a whole lot of fans that want to see Grealish play. So we'll see if that pans out to be. We got some breaking news. Christian Eriksen has been discharged from the hospital. So
fabulous.
That's good signs. Good signs for him, and hopefully wish him best. So my top teams, Sean, has been obviously France. I like Italy. Italy's looking good. I know they're not beating world beaters, but they have some impressive start. And, of course, Portugal definitely has a good set of players, and like their squad is pretty talented. So we'll definitely see that. And I got to see more from Holland, so we'll see what they can do and things like that. So, but anyways, that's our European update. Let's look into boxing. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, Part 3 coming up on June 24th. Is it June 24th? July 24th. They had a stare down this past week at the press conference. Sean, what are your thoughts over that match?
Excited, disappointed, probably the two words I'd use for it. Disappointed because we was all expecting Joshua versus Fury. That didn't happen because there was an arbitration case against Bob Arum and obviously Tyson Fury for that third fight to take place. And Bob Arum took a chance and he didn't win that case. So Joshua Fury couldn't happen. So Joshua now has to look elsewhere, potentially against Usyk. That's seemingly what's going to happen next. But Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury 3, it's an interesting prospect because we know what happened in the second fight. We know how many excuses Deontay Wilder came out with after the fight. We know he's now changed his team. He's got rid of Mark Breland. He's now got Malik Scott, a former opponent, in the corner with him now. And yet at the press conference a couple of days ago, he refused to speak to most media. He came on and said a few words at the end of the press conference and he had headphones on all the way through it. And it was just, I don't know how to interpret that. There's two ways in which I've interpreted it, to be honest. And the two ways I can see it is it's either a case of he wants to be so mentally focused that he's trying to block out Tyson Fury and his mind games because maybe it got to him last time. Or from what a lot of other people have said, people that follow boxing as avidly as I do, is they think that Deontay Wilder, he's a shell of his former self, that he's already looking like a beaten man already before he's even got in the ring. And what was interesting was Tyson Fury, he didn't do as many of the mind games in that press conference as what he normally does. He was talking to Malik Scott a lot about the fact that, you know, it doesn't matter who comes and trains Deontay Wilder, as soon as that bell goes, he's going to revert to type, as in he's going to start trying to look for the one-punch knockout against Tyson Fury, which is what Tyson Fury's already said he's expecting. And Tyson Fury's basically turned round and said it's not even going to go as far as round seven this time, and he's going to get him out of there earlier. And at the moment, I believe him. At the moment, I do genuinely believe him. Looking at the body language of Deontay Wilder, I'm no body language expert, but he doesn't look like he wanted to be there. he looks like he's taken the fight because he's got the rematch clause in his contract. He's going to get paid a lot of money for the fight. I could be totally wrong, and I could be eating my words come July the 24th or 25th for us, and Deontay Wilder could knock Tyson Fury out, and we could be having a completely different conversation. But just from that one press conference alone and what's been said, or what little's been said by Deontay Wilder's team, I'm anticipating that Tyson Fury will beat him, and he will beat him convincingly again.
Yeah, definitely. This fight was forced due to a judge, arbitrary, in favor of Deontay Wilder back in May, and they'll meet again. Of course, it feels like a little bit forced, but it should be a intriguing, maybe a entertaining fight. So in the summertime, what were your thoughts over? Which I'm sure you didn't watch it, but what were your thoughts over the Mayweather versus Logan Paul fight?
Yeah, it was exactly what we said it was going to be the last time we spoke. It was a money making scheme for the pair of them, and you know what, I did see social media clips. Who didn't see the clips? Because anytime you opened any single social media app on your phone, there was usually a clip of Logan Paul swinging wildly at Floyd Mayweather, and there was probably some sort of caption attached to it, some type of meme that had been made out of that particular clip. I think from what I've seen, it just looked like a standard Mayweather, easy night's work for him, making a hell of a lot of money. And both Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather walked away, you know, smiling, really, at the end of the day. It's shrewd business from the pair of them. Whilst none of us might like it, or some might like it, it is shrewd business. You can't fault the business ingenuity of the pair of them, because both of them have walked away with a lot of money. Floyd Mayweather, of course, a lot more than Logan Paul, but still, it doesn't matter. You know, he's 43 years old, I think, now, Floyd Mayweather, and yet he can still get out of his silk pajamas at 43 years of age, get in the ring and give a young lad who's much bigger than him a boxing lesson, and still walk away with a hell of a lot of money. And if he continues to do that till he's about 50, he's going to keep supplying his children with the money they need to have the careers and the lives they want. And in that respect, fair play. But I don't think it does much for his legacy as a fighter, personally.
Do you think he'll have more of these type of fights in the future?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, look at who he's faced now in exhibitions. Obviously, Conor McGregor. Then he's fought the Thai boxer from Japan, and he beat him convincingly. Now he's fought a YouTube reality star in Logan Paul. I mean, what's next? Which entertainment field is he going to go into next? I mean, remember when he went into WWE and he had the choreographed match with the Big Show? You know, he's been there and he's done it. It's a case of, it's not if, it's when it happens, and who is it going to be against?
There is a real upcoming fight, Vasily Lomachenko versus Masajachi Nakatani in Las Vegas. What are your thoughts over this match? Is it something that we should all be looking towards to?
I think we want to see what Vasily Lomachenko has left. I think that's what most fans are going to be looking towards, is to see what he has left in the tank. He lost to Teofimo Lopez. He lost to the younger man. That rematch hasn't happened, unfortunately, and now he's obviously facing Nakatani, who does only have one defeat on his record, but that one defeat obviously being against Teofimo Lopez, of course, but there's a lot to be said about Vasily Lomachenko more than anything. I think people are tuning into this fight to see whether Lomachenko still got that level that he was at previously, because Teofimo Lopez, although it was a very close fight, he kind of, there's a saying about fighters that are older, old manning younger fighters. I don't think he did the opposite. He young manned Vasily Lomachenko. He outworked him and he got the victory. And I think for Lomachenko now, he looks like he's trying to rebuild and go back to the top to maybe face Teofimo Lopez again. For boxing fans that weren't aware, Teofimo was supposed to be fighting this weekend against the mandatory challenger George Kambosos Jr., but because obviously Teofimo's not being able to compete in that fight now, we're not getting to see that. That was the other fight that was happening this weekend alongside Vasily Lomachenko and Nakatani. But I think people are going to be more tuning in to see what Vasily Lomachenko's got left and whether he can still mix it at the elite level. And it sounds pretty crazy to talk about it in the sense that it's like Lomachenko's got nothing left, because we just don't know that. We just don't know. Like, he is getting older. He's, you know, people forget he is an older guy now. He's getting older. He's what? He's 34, 35 now, I think. And he's, is he still going to be able to mix it the same way he did maybe 2 or 3 years ago? Is he still going to be able to go back and beat the likes of Teofimo Lopez? Will he move down? Will he move up? There's a lot of questions that need to be answered. And I think when we see him get in the ring again, we'll get some of the answers. Not all of them, but we'll get to see whether or not he will be back up challenging for world titles once more.
Love your perspective. Yeah, you just don't know with these boxing things, especially when like when they only happen once or twice a year. You don't see these fighters around every day. So we'll see on June 26th, Las Vegas, ESPN Plus. You could probably watch it in ITV in the UK, right?
I'm not too sure who the broadcaster is yet, to be honest with you. I've not got as far as... to be honest with you, Santiago, I've been so hooked on watching the European Championships that, you know, some of the fights have took a little bit of a backseat, admittedly, because the European Championships have kind of hooked a lot of people into it and seeing where teams are going to go. But I'm sure they'll, if it's not already been broadcasted for ITV, it might be possibly on the fight app. I'm not too sure. I'm sure people will correct me on that, but I don't actually know who the broadcaster is for this one.
So tell us, what is the ambience like in the UK? Are people able to go to the pubs and watch the games, or they could go over people's houses? What can you do now?
Yes, a little bit more relaxed than what it was the last time we spoke. However, we were supposed to be getting some more freedom on the 21st of June. That's now been cancelled. They've put it back another 4 weeks because the cases of this new variant, this Indian variant, have gone up quite significantly. By this, I think the start of the week, it was about 5,000-6,000, and we're now looking at 11,000 cases a day. Not as many deaths, admittedly, this time around. It's still bad that there are deaths, of course, but there's like 10, 20 deaths compared to like the hundreds that they were a few months ago. So at the moment, you are allowed to mix indoors with other people. You are allowed to go to pubs. It all has to be pre-booked. You all have to be taken to your seats. I know that there are people that are probably not going to be following the rules as such now, because there are a lot of people. They're estimated 30 million people have been vaccinated fully, as in their two doses of their vaccine that they've been given, myself included. So I think a lot of people seem to be under the impression now that now they've been fully vaccinated that they can kind of do what they want, but that's not the case at the moment. It still looks like there's going to be another wave before this is all over and before we get to our sounds shocking to say, but our ultimate freedom again.
Yes, it's definitely a process going to go on. So we'll see what happens. Anything else before we head into predictions?
No, I'm just, I suppose, again, just harking back to what we've been discussing about the football. I think that's been the forefront of my mind. I know it's been the forefront of a lot of fans' minds. I think that's something we're all looking forward to. I know the Copa America's on as well, isn't it? That's something I've not had a chance to tune into. I've seen Brazil on top of their group at the moment, so I know that's something interesting if anybody's not checked that out.
Yeah, especially here in the Americas. I'm watching two tournaments. It's the Euros and the Copa America. And the Gold Cup, which is the CONCACAF one, I think it's a little bit later on. I'm not sure exactly when it starts. So there's a lot of soccer or football this summer. It's like a World Cup, but they're all fragmented. But so far, great quality football. Really excited. We're only in like the first round, and let's see what happens in the knockout stage. Okay, predictions. Let's go for the first one. Boxing: Lomachenko versus Nakatani.
Lomachenko, unanimous decision.
Uruguay versus Argentina tonight.
Argentina 1-0.
Ooh, I like that. England versus Scotland.
England 2-0.
England 2-0. Portugal versus Germany tomorrow.
Oh, that is a game. That is a great game to tune into. I hope people do tune in. That's a brilliant game. I think that's going to be another 1-0 game. But I'm going to go with Germany.
The old Germans. Interesting. Which they had a great match against France, but they couldn't find the goal. Couldn't find Timo Werner. So we'll see. Full of stars. All these teams have full of stars. So they can't even, like there's no lack of. Let's just say that. They just got to have strategy to find that goal. And Sean, I was. What is your favorite fish to eat?
Over here in the UK, fish and chips is usually made. The fish is usually cod with batter on it, so it's usually cod is my usual favorite to eat.
Yeah, which is our Twitter question of the day, and the question was favorite fish to catch: catfish, tarpon, mahi-mahi, or red drum. Have you had either of them?
I haven't. Admittedly, I'm not a big fish connoisseur, to be honest. I think my fish experience goes as far as cod and mackerel and maybe carp. And I think that's as far as you can go with my limited experience.
What is the average cost of a fish and chips in England?
It depends on where you go. Like, I think with anywhere, I suppose across America, there's certain areas of different states that cost a lot more. So if you go to London, go to the capital, you're probably looking at, I reckon, don't quote me on it, but I reckon at least 10 pounds, which is probably like, what, $12-$13 for fish and chips. But here in Manchester, you're probably looking for a good standard fish and chips, you're probably looking at about £6-7.
Not bad. Pretty affordable on my budget. So, Sean Barstow, tell us the best way to reach you and the latest on your podcast.
Of course, yeah. Twitter at SeanBTRBoxing and BTR Boxing Pod. You can find all the series-based episodes on the main feed there. And if you've not already tuned into any of the other series, of course, you know where to find that as well. Career Profiles, Legendary Nights, Dark Side of Boxing. It's all there across social media and all the podcasting platforms as well. Big thank you to, obviously, yourself, Santiago, for having me back on. And it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure talking about a varied few sports this time around.
Yes, I could count on you for football. So I thought you were completely cut off, but European Championship and the World Cup, you could definitely cover it here on the Sportscast. Now, for the darker side of boxing, do you have like a new season coming up?
Yeah, we are in the works for the new season. There are obviously stories that are heavily researched that take a lot of time to do, and I think sometimes I feel quite bad being a podcast host because sometimes we don't say. I'll give you a good example. A bit of context to what I'm going into here is like most recently we've done a career profile on Jack Johnson. Now Jack Johnson, anybody who knows about Jack Johnson, the first black African-American heavyweight champion, and his life and his times, the research and the time it took to do it, it took us probably weeks to put that one episode together, which in total between two parts was nearly 4 hours long. So that's if you listen to it back to back, it's like 4 hours. So it takes a lot of time to put this type of stuff together because we want to make sure that we leave no stone unturned when it comes to putting these cases together. The same for the dark side of boxing. As the season progressed, we started to find more and more reputable sources to find information from. So we have got a few cases that are already lined up, but we want to put a complete season together. And what we want to try and do is we want to release at least 4 or 5 of the episodes over a sort of quick period so that people kind of get used to the fact that they're going to be coming out weekly. I suppose one of the issues we have as you know, doing this part time really is that you've got to put so much time and effort into it to make it a good product for people to listen to that you don't want to just put anything out which is just Wikipedia based facts. You want it to be actual quotations from newspaper articles from maybe 6-7 years ago. You want proper reputable sources to go out there. So in terms of the time frame, it'll be we're looking at September, October now for it to be released, but when it does get released, it will be on a weekly basis. We'll have it all ready to go, and then we'll see what people say and see what the thoughts are about season two.
Please check it out. I listened to it. Very detailed, very highly produced, and I'm looking forward to the next season. And, of course, you can check us out at thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest, a lot going on in news, or download our app, The Sportscast for iOS, or follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1. Anyways, I got to prep up for the England-Scotland match. I'm not sure about you, Sean, but I appreciate you coming on to The Sportscast.
Excited. Thanks very much. And make sure everybody follow the Sportscast.
Go Three Lions.